Let me ask you something, and be honest with yourself for a second. If I put you in the run-up area right now, engine warm, checklist done, and I said the ceiling is 2,000 broken, and the visibility is 4 miles in haze, and we're sitting at a non-towered field in Class Echo airspace, could you tell me, without looking it up, whether you're legal to take off? Not whether it's smart, whether it's legal, because those are two different questions, and today we're going to untangle both of them. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar, the show where we take one regulation, lay it out on the workbench, and figure out what it actually means for you on your next flight. Today, it's a big one. It's the one every student memorizes, chants in the car on the way to the check ride, and then, I promise you, at least half of them get part of it backwards. Under pressure. Federal Aviation Regulation 9155. Basic VFR weather minimums, the cloud clearance and visibility rules. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, quick word about some folks I genuinely like. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones that cost you sweat and money and a few gray hairs. aviationsoul.com. Go take a look. All right, 91455. Here's why this regulation exists, because when you understand the why, the numbers stop being random and start making sense. You fly under visual flight rules. That means you, the pilot, are responsible for seeing other traffic and staying away from it. See and avoid. Nobody's separating you from that other airplane but your own two eyeballs. Now, there's another whole category of traffic out there flying on instrument flight rules. Airliners, a lot of business jets, plenty of general aviation pilots shooting approaches in the clouds. Those airplanes are punching in and out of the bottoms of clouds, popping out of a layer, descending through a deck. So picture that cloud as a wall you can't see through. On the other side of it, closing at a couple hundred knots, is a jet you will never see coming. The cloud clearance rules exist for one reason: to give you enough clear air between you and that cloud that when a Boeing or a King Air comes squirting out of it, you both have a fighting chance to see each other and do something about it. That's the whole idea. Visibility, so you can see distance from clouds, so you can react. Everything in this reg flows from that. Okay, let's build the numbers up, and I want to build them the way I wish somebody had built them for me, instead of just handing me a chart and saying, memorize this. We'll start with the number almost everybody remembers, because it shows up the most, 3152. Say it with me, 3152. That's 3 statute miles of visibility, and then the cloud clearance 1,000 feet above the clouds, 500 feet below the clouds, and 2,000 feet horizontal from the clouds. 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 horizontal. 3152. Now here's the thing, nobody tells you clearly. Where does that 3152 apply? It applies in the great big middle of the sky. Controlled airspace, Class Echo, and the Class Charlie and Class Delta around airports during the day, below 10,000 feet. That's most of the flying most of us do. So that's your bread and butter number. 3 miles, 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 across. Let me tell you why it's 1,000 above but only 500 below, because students always ask, and it's a fair question. Think about who's coming out of that cloud and where they're going. An airplane descending out of the bottom of a cloud on an approach is coming down. It needs room underneath. So the rule keeps you well clear above 1,000 feet because that descending traffic is dropping through the altitude just below the cloud base. Meanwhile, you sitting 500 below the base and the geometry of somebody breaking out and leveling, it gives everybody a cushion. You don't have to love the logic, but it's not random. There's a reason above and below aren't the same number. Now hold that 3152 in your head, because here's where it changes and here's where people get tripped up. Let's go down low into Class Golf. Uncontrolled airspace. The airspace that hugs the ground out in the countryside, away from the towers and the radar, where a lot of us learn to fly off a grass strip or a quiet county field. Down in Class Golf, the FAA relaxes the rules because there's less fast traffic and less IFR activity down there. But relaxes does not mean ignores. During the day in Class Golf at or below 1,200 feet above the ground, you need 1 mile of visibility and you need to stay clear of clouds. That's it. 1 mile and clear of clouds. Clear of clouds? Not 500 below, not 2,000 across. Just don't fly into one. You can be right up underneath it if you want. Legally. And here's where I need to put my instructor hat on and be honest with you the way I said I would. Legal and safe are not the same word. 1 mile visibility, scud running along under a low deck, clear of clouds by a few feet. That is perfectly legal in Class Golf in the daytime. It is also exactly the picture that shows up in accident reports. VFR into instrument conditions, controlled flight into terrain, the pilot who pressed on under a lowering ceiling in deteriorating visibility. The regulation gives you permission, it does not give you a guarantee, and I've said it before on this show. The regs are a floor, not a target. Just because you can does not mean the day is telling you that you should. All right, let's keep going, because golf has a nighttime rule too, and it's different. At night in class golf, at or below 1,200 feet, the visibility jumps to 3 miles, and now the cloud clearance comes back, 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 horizontal. That 520-2000 picture again. Why the change at night? Because you can't see the clouds. In the dark, a wall of cloud is invisible until you're in it, and by then the world outside your windows has gone black and your instruments are the only truth you've got left. So at night the rules get stricter, precisely because your eyeball, the whole basis of see and avoid, just got a lot less reliable. There's a narrow exception at night in golf near an airport, within half a mile of the runway in the traffic pattern, where you can drop to 1 mile clear of clouds so you can actually get in and land but keep the big picture. Night in golf, think 3 miles and the cloud clearances, come back. Let me stop and give you a way to actually hold all this, because I've just thrown a lot of numbers at you and I know it. Here's the mental model I teach. The higher and faster the traffic around you is likely to be, the more room the rules give you. Down low in the boonies in golf in the daytime, slow traffic, you get the loosest rule, one and clear. Up in the main body of controlled airspace where the IFR traffic lives, you get 3152. And when you climb up high, above 10,000 feet where the airplanes are really moving, the numbers get bigger again. Let's talk about that top shelf because it's the one people forget entirely. Above 10,000 feet above sea level and more than 1,200 feet above the ground in controlled airspace, the visibility goes up to 5 miles, and the cloud clearance goes to 1,000 above, 1,000 below, and 1 statute mile horizontal. 5, and then 1,000, 1,000, 1 mile. Why so much bigger? Speed. Below 10,000 feet, you've got that 250 knot speed limit, protecting everybody above 10,000. That limit comes off, and airplanes can be moving a lot faster. A mile of horizontal clearance up high isn't overkill. When something can close on you at 500-600 knots of combined speed, a mile disappears in seconds. More closure speed, more room required. It's the same logic all the way up. So there's your ladder, one and clear down low in golf by day, 3152 in the middle, 5 and 1,000,000 mile up high. Now let me connect this to your check ride, because if you're training, this is coming for you guaranteed. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, the document the examiner is actually grading you against, lists knowledge of VFR weather minimums right there under pre-flight and cross-country planning. The examiner is looking for you to not just recite the numbers, but to apply them to the actual weather on the day of your test. So they will do this. They'll pull up the current conditions, or they'll make up a scenario and they'll say, here's your ceiling, here's your visibility, here's the airspace you're departing into. Are you legal? And then, because a good examiner always goes one level deeper, are you comfortable? What's your personal minimum here? Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The examiner is not trying to trap you on whether it's 500 below or 500 above. They're trying to find out if you actually understand that the sky is divided into layers with different rules and whether you know which layer you're standing in when you firewall the throttle. So, when you brief across country, don't just check the weather. Check the airspace you'll be flying through and match the minimums to it. Departing a golf airport, climbing up into the echo shelf, that starts at 700 or 1200 feet. Your required minimums change the instant you cross into that controlled airspace. You go from 1 and clear to 3152 just by climbing through an invisible line. That's the part that separates a pilot who memorized a chart from a pilot who understands the sky. Know where the floor of the controlled airspace is on your sectional. That magenta or blue shading, because that's the altitude where your rules change. Let me give you a real scenario to tie it together. Let's go back to where we started. You're at a non-towered field. Class Echo airspace begins at the surface, or maybe it starts at 700 feet. You check the chart, you know, ceiling 2000 broken, visibility 4 miles in haze. Work it. You're in controlled airspace, daytime, below 10,000, that's 3152. You need 3 miles. You've got 4. Legal on visibility. You need to stay 500 below the clouds. Bases are at 2000. Traffic pattern altitude is 1,000, so you can fly the pattern. Stay 500 below that 2,000-foot base, no problem, you're legal. Are you comfortable 4 miles in haze is not a lot? Haze flattens everything, kills your horizon. hides other traffic against a milky sky, legal, yes. But that's a day where I'm flying the pattern, staying close to home, and I'm keeping my head on a swivel. That's a day where the difference between legal and wise is doing all the talking, and that right there is the whole lesson. 9155 tells you the line you cannot cross. Your judgment tells you how close to that line you're willing to fly. Let me leave you with the one-sentence version to carry in your headset. The visibility number lets you see the traffic. The cloud clearance number gives you time to do something about it. Every single value in that regulation is just those two ideas, scaled up or down depending on how fast the airplane you can't see is going. Learn it that way, and you'll never have to chant it in the car again. You'll just know it, because it'll make sense. The regulation itself is right there in 14 CFR 91555, free to read, and the FAA lays the whole thing out plainly in the Aeronautical Information Manual and the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge. Read the actual words sometime, they're shorter than you think. There's more on all of this over at radiohanger.com if you want it. This stuff is hard, and it costs you real money and real time to learn, and if you're grinding through it right now, I see you. Keep at it. It clicks, I'm pattern. Keep the clouds at arm's length, and I'll see you next time.